In verse 1, the Bible says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and thy mother, he that curses his father, whoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And honor not thy father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah say, prophesied ye, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. For in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Please be seated. Now, in verse 8 and 9, this is the text, and I just want to preach on this subject, when hearts are far away from God. And we know that the hearts of the lost are far away from God. But even after we get saved, we don't think it'll ever happen when we get saved. But even after we get saved, if we're not careful, our hearts can get farther from God than they should be. And what we want to be focusing on is getting close to God. What's going to happen if we don't focus and deliberately to try to stay close to God? That takes some effort to stay close to God. But it doesn't take any effort at all to drift away from God, to create for distance to be created from God. In Isaiah 29 and 13, Isaiah said, "Wherefore the Lord said, For as much as this people draw nigh me with their mouth," Jesus is quoting this in the Gospel of Matthew, he said, "and their lips do honor me, but they've removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man." And so that's been a situation that could be real for as long, I guess, as there's been time. And when Isaiah said that, wrote that back 700 years before the birth of Christ, we see, as I read the text tonight, history repeating itself. Jesus said it's still going on. And it was going on then, and it goes on now. It's a shame that it does. It's a shame that's the case, but that can be the case. Now, I want us to look at three things in this passage. And number one, I want us to look at the people. Always have to be concerned about the people. Hey, man, you can know everything else about a situation. If you leave the people out of it, you really miss everything. And in verse 8, here's the people who are identified. He said, this people. This people. It's not them. It's us. It's you. It's this people. You know, it kind of reminds me when people leave church, they used to do this, and they would say something as along these lines, boy, the preacher really gave it to them today. You know, it's always them. Or I've had it said to me more than once, they really needed that. But like the old song says, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And that's what we want to think about this afternoon as we look at this text, that we're not talking about not to be so concerned about others, even though we should have a concern for others who may be distant from God, but we need to be thinking about whether I'm distant from God. Have I become distant from God? Where is my heart where God is concerned? These people here are people who are being condemned. Jesus was condemning them. Now, these people were false religionists, the scribes and the Pharisees, but this is the condition that is explained for us here. This record is given to us here about how Jesus condemned these people who were, their mouths were very close to God, but their heart, there's a note of condemnation here. But in that note of condemnation, there's something for us, and that's a caution. That's a caution to ourselves about being guilty of what these scribes and Pharisees were, and it's a caution to us to always remember the possibility of our drifting away from God in our hearts. That's possible because of what Paul said, this inconvenient truth here, where Paul said in Romans 7:21, he said, I want to do good, but every time I want to do good, something rises up inside me to prevent me from doing good. He said that I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For when I delight in the law of God after the inward man, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And that's an apostle saying that. I wish it weren't possible, but it is possible that this sin nature can rise up like that and cause us to have hearts that are far away from God. Now, I want you to notice in the next place in verse 8, look at the second part of verse 8. Jesus said, quoting from Isaiah, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. He's talking about their profession now. It's easy to profess things, right? You can train minor birds, parrots, to profess things. They can say things. You can teach little babies that don't have a clue what they're saying. Little bitty toddlers, they don't have a clue what they're saying, but you can teach them to say certain things. I had a doctor one time in Flint, our family doctor. He was from Lebanon, and he was a Christian man. But one time he said to me, he said, I'd like you to come out to my house sometime. He said, I want to show you something. He said, you're not going to believe it. I said, really? I said, what is it? And this man was a very, as you can imagine, intelligent man. And, I mean, he'd been through a lot. He fought in Lebanon. And when he got to America, he washed windows to start out. And he was 40 years old when he started, so he could get through medical school. He lived in a beautiful home, and he was very, very generous, especially to patients who needed it. But he said, I got something I really want you to see, and I want you to come out to the house. I said, well, fine. I said, I'll be glad to. And we set a date. And he said, I'm just going to tell you. He said, I have a talking dog. I thought, okay. A dog that talks. I had heard what he said, but I wanted to hear it again. I said, Dr. Heather, you actually have a dog that talks, speaks English? He said, yeah. So I went out to his house, and you're not going to believe it, but this dog said several words that anybody could understand what they were. They weren't Lebanese words. They were English words. They weren't words like roof, roof. So profession, I'm just trying to say, profession doesn't mean all of that. It's like I say all the time, the only thing that inflation never affects is talk. Talk is still as cheap as it's ever been. And so these scribes and Pharisees are being confronted here with their profession, which was pure pretense where God was concerned. It's easy to talk a good talk about having a close walk with God, but the reality is, if a person doesn't go to the house of God, and they don't read the Bibles, and they hardly ever do any of that or pray, they can talk all they want about it, but I'm sure they don't have a close walk with God. And if you're saved, you want to have a close walk with God as you can. It's easy to make a profession. It was easy for these people, but their profession was empty. It didn't mean anything. Now, one thing here is they had a lot of people fooled. They had the Jewish community fooled. They thought these people were the most spiritual, religious people in their world, and looked to them for direction and to get a word from God from these people who were just all hot air and making it up as they went along. And they had an empty profession. Back in Jeremiah's day, in Jeremiah 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously?" And then it goes on to say about them, "Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins." Near in their mouth, but far from their reins. In Ezekiel 33, verse 30 through 32, this is quite a passage. If you want to return to it, follow along, you're welcome to. But there, God is speaking to Ezekiel. Some of you remember when we went through the entire book of Ezekiel. And when we got to this passage, here's what we saw. God spoke to Ezekiel and said, "Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them." I mean, they were inviting people to church. That is wonderful. I just think sometimes how terrible it would be for somebody who is really has a heart that's far from God, and for whatever reason, whatever pretense, whatever significance they get from it, they're inviting everybody to church. And yet, there'll be people that they've invited who'll go to heaven, and they'll find them their own selves in hell. The Lord went on and he said, "Come, I pray you," he said, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth out after covetousness." It wasn't going out after God. It was going out after their own covetousness. "And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do not do them." Now, think about that last part. He said, they're flocking in to hear you, but all you are to them is an entertainer. That's how they get their entertainment. You've met people that they wouldn't think about going to a Las Vegas floor show. But they love to go to certain services and so on and so forth. They're not going there really to get close to God. They're going there because entertained, but their idea of entertainment from a preacher is to get under the preaching of one who is just going to, as they say, skin them alive and preach hard and so on and so forth. And they love that, but it doesn't have any effect on their life whatsoever. And this is the way they were treating Ezekiel. God says, you're unto them like a minstrel, player, or performer. In Matthew 7 and in verse 21, there's a special warning at the closing of the Sermon on the Mount about this kind of pretension and shallowness. The Lord said there, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" Nobody gets to heaven by preaching. Nobody preaches their way into heaven. The Bible says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. But nobody's saved through their own preaching. They said, "And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." And he said, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So here Jesus is talking about people who said, your main problem is your hearts are far, far from me. And then, in the last place, he mentions that position. He mentions the distance that's involved. As you go on and look at verse 8, he says, they draw near me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is, here's the distance problem, it's far from me. Nobody can ever get too close to the Lord, but we sure can get away without knowing it. It's kind of like driving a car, and your car can be out of alignment. It's not too badly out of alignment, and you don't notice it. And after a while, it gets out of alignment worse, and then it's worse. And then it's really serious. Now, I'm not a mechanic, but I do drive cars. And I know that when a car is in bad alignment, it can affect other things in the automobile. It can affect the way it handles. It can wear the tires out. Overall, it's expensive, and it's also dangerous. That's the way it is in drifting away from God. Those very same things will happen. It doesn't happen instantly. It happens gradually without a person really, really knowing. It's like one time I was out on the ocean, and I was on one of these rubber rafts. There wasn't anybody else around, but it was a stretch of beach, and I got on one of these rafts, these cheap rubber rafts, and laid on it, and I was about as far as from, if I was that far from here to that door. And the next thing I knew, it seemed like the next thing I knew, my family looked like ants. And I'll tell you, I really, really got frightened, because I'd read enough horror stories, and I know how you can get carried out beyond what you ever intended to go. I never intended to go out that far. It just happened subtly and gradually, and thankfully I woke up in time to get myself back in. And I'm telling you, I was doing some paddling with these arms to finally get back to shore. But that sort of thing can happen. Your heart is far from me. Years ago, a man wrote a book. I didn't like the book. It was a very negative book. Negative in the sense that it named all kinds of people, and it was a very unkind book. But I liked the title of the book. I mean, the title of the book meant something. It suggested something. The title of the book was Heart Disease in the Body of Christ. That's the biggest problem that a church can have, is to have heart disease. When you get heart disease, that's something else that comes on subtly, or it becomes apparent very subtly and slowly. God wants our hearts. I'll just close with this. It's not real instructive to anybody here. It's just a reminder. God wants our hearts to be close to Him. He wants our hearts to be close to Him. I told my wife I was studying on a subject this morning. I thought I'd really, really have her stymied. I went upstairs and I said, Judy, have you ever thought about the difference between faith and belief? I thought she would say, well, they mean the same thing, just a different word for the same thing, don't they? But I'd been doing a little study on it, and I began to understand it a little clearly. When you have faith in God, I want to preach on this sometime. When you have faith in God, you have faith in the person of God, who God is. But when you have belief, you have belief in what God can do. A person, a Christian, can have faith in God. They can believe in God, in the person of God. But maybe some of you can relate to this, but you can come to places in your life, there can be situations and circumstances and so on, where you know God is real. You don't have any problem with who God is, but you begin to have doubts and fears and questions and anxieties about believing what God can do. And the farther our hearts get away from God, the more likely it is that we'll begin to question what God can do. Will God do anything? Will God do this? Would He do this for me? Will He answer this prayer? And just have questions like that. And it all goes back to a person who's let their hearts get far away from God. In Proverbs 23 and also in Proverbs 4 is this very, very familiar divine appeal. God says, "My son, give me your heart." The reason I want to preach down the road on is because if God has the hearts and the heart of this church, it'll be hard for us to have much of a problem with anything. But if God doesn't have our hearts, if we're not close to Him, if our hearts are not close to Him, we'll have the same problem that these people had. We'll have problem with our prayers. Remember the old Pharisee in Luke 18, the Bible says Jesus said he stood and prayed thus with himself. That's because he had a heart that was far from God. And another thing, we can become very distant as believers, not only where our prayers are concerned, but where worship is concerned and hearing sermons is concerned and praising God is concerned. We can have problems in those areas if our hearts are far, far from God's. Even when it comes to service to God. If our hearts are far from God, it's really going to affect it. Affect our service to the Lord. These people, the service that they did it because they wanted to be seen doing it. And I couldn't help but think about our VBS and our Vacation Bible School workers. Now, our people didn't come out every night after a hard day's work and put on capes and masks and do a whole lot of things every night just to be seen of men. Amen. They didn't drive those distances every night. And some people, like Rick and Molly and others that are here, I better stop naming names, it costs a lot of money to drive back and forth every night. But the people that helped out in the VBS and worked like that, they were doing it because their hearts were not distant from God, but close to God. They didn't do it for any attention or any applause or anything like that. They didn't do things like the Pharisees did, that they might have praise of men. In John 12 and 43, he said they love the praise of men more than they love the praise of God. I think of that verse in Hebrews 6 and 10 that says, God is not unfaithful to forget your labor of love. God has a reward for those, because he knows when people do stuff out of love for him. And every work, as the song says, for Jesus will be blessed. And so these people here, their hearts were distant. And because their hearts weren't in the right place, of course, they were disobedient. In verse 9, it says, but in vain, this is the price they had to pay, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. I'll just say that their criteria for how they lived, how they worshiped, how they thought about things, the Bible was not their criteria. And the Bible's supposed to be our criteria. They just as soon do what they were doing according to the traditions of men. But they weren't all that concerned about the Bible. That's why, I guess I never thought of this, but they were some of the first revisionists. And so they wrote whole books, these scribes and Pharisees, and added to and all of that. and it's because they had heart problems. The reason people do it today is because they got a serious heart problem. Now, a heart that is far from God can be a conflict. Getting ready to preach a sermon, I think about it. How distant might my own heart be right now from God? Because it can be a common position among God's people. And most of the time that that's true, whether it's unconscious or as conscious or conscious, it can be a chosen position. Life is all about choices. People choose whether they want to be close to God, walk close to God, or if it doesn't matter all of that much. They've got their priorities on other things right then. But here's the good news. For the believer that might be here today, the child of God whose heart at one time was a whole lot closer to God than it ever has been, this common position is a changeable position. Amen? We can be just as close to God as we want to be. Let's all stand together.